Welcome to The Heart Zone, a podcast ministry of Kernsville Christian Church, featuring the teaching ministry of George Cannon. For more information about Kernsville Christian Church, visit us on the web at www.kernsvillechristian.org. And now, for a message from The Heart Zone, here's George.
All right, guys, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. And we're going to look at Mark, chapter 3. We're going to focus in on verses 1 to 6. Now, what we've been doing with our messages in these morning services is we've been focusing on the Gospel of Mark and trying to get to know Jesus. Now, I mentioned to you before that when we oftentimes find Jesus, especially when he's healing, there are three things that come out of the passage. We see, first of all, Jesus praying and getting alone with the Lord, and of course, we find out what the need is then. And then we see the faith of the individuals who want that healing to take place in somebody's life, and then we see Jesus do the healing, right? That's what we've typically seen. Today, in these first six verses of chapter 3, we're actually going to see something else. The gospel is going to shift now. And it's going to shift to the reality that not everybody's happy about Jesus. Haven't you found that to be true in your life? When you talk to people about Jesus, you have some people who are interested and they share with you what God is doing in their life, but then there are some people that you deal with are just indifferent, they don't really care, but then there's a whole other group of people, they just really don't care. And they really don't want to hear about Jesus. They're just looking, not just looking for something wrong with Jesus, they're actually looking, can we be honest, looking for something wrong with you. To discredit Jesus. So, I mean, if Jesus is that real to you, then why do you do this? You know what I'm saying? Why are you doing that? Why did you act that way? Why did you respond that way? And so people are looking for fault. And that's what we're going to talk about today. In these six verses, we're going to see a group of people whose only purpose when this incident happens is to find fault. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how that applies to our lives as well. So I want you to notice with me, let's look at the first six verses of chapter 3. Again, he entered a synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him and how to destroy him. All right, so let's take a look at this. Obviously, this passage is focused on a group of people who don't like Jesus, who are just looking for something to discredit him, to just deal with him. And so we're going to break it down into three sections, and we're going to see some things that we can learn from. So let's talk about, first of all, the ones who reject. Okay? We're going to notice that in verses 1 to 2. The ones who reject. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. When we look at verses 1 and 2, it's important to acknowledge that not everybody's happy about Jesus. If you haven't gotten to that place yet in your Christian walk, here you are, you're excited about what God's doing, you're excited about, man, I've been praying about this and God answered that, and then you tell people about it, you maybe tell somebody at work, or tell some buddies or whatever, and you find out that immediately there's a lot of people who don't really care, and they especially don't care as soon as you mention the word what? Jesus. And they don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's just part of life, right? That's just part of life. You may have family members. I have family members like that who don't really want to even have any concept that God might be alive. They'd rather not even talk about it. They'd rather you not talk about it. And this is the reality. You and I need to get to the place to realize that not everybody's happy with Jesus. Okay? In fact, when he walks into the synagogue, now we don't know which synagogue it is. It could be the synagogue at Capernaum, but remember, he's going around to all the villages in the northern part of Israel and the Galilee area. And so he goes into this synagogue to worship on the Sabbath, and there's a guy with a withered hand. And notice the focus of the passage is on people who are just waiting to see if Jesus will do, quote, the wrong thing. So these are people who aren't really interested not just in hearing about Jesus, they're wanting to discredit Jesus. And that's the world we live in, right? Here's the second thing I want you to see here. Some people are looking for a reason to reject Jesus. They're looking for a reason. Now, specifically with this group of people, they were looking for a reason because Jesus, in their mind, had to act according to what they believed. And so because he didn't do that, they could just write him off. Okay? They could discredit him and so forth. So they're just looking to find fault. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's true today. I find people to do that. So for instance, have you ever met somebody who says they want to go to church, and then they go to every church in the area, and they never settle anywhere? And so when you talk to them and you say to them, well, did you go over to such and such church over in Clearfield? Yeah, but, got that big word there, right? But they do this. Oh, okay. All right, I understand that. Then you say, well, what about, have you gone over to this church? Yeah, I went and visited them, but they do this. I don't like the way the preacher speaks there. Oh, okay. All right. Have you been to another church? Well, you know, they have a different belief concerning this. Well, that's not really significant. Yeah, but it's really important to me. So we're not going. So they never find anywhere, right? Because they're not really looking for a place. They're looking for a reason not to go somewhere. And that happens even among us, not just unbelievers. People are looking for a reason to reject. So they'll come into a place. Nobody talked to me. Okay. Good. Did you hang around a little bit? No, I left right before the service ended. Well, it's kind of hard to talk to you if you're going out the door before the final amen, right? Do you see what I'm saying? People are just looking for a reason to reject. And these folks were looking for a reason. Why? Here it is. Here's the third thing I want you to see here about those who reject. Their traditions and preferences are more important than anything. So with this group of people in that day, in that synagogue, these were folks who, quote, were very strong about keeping the Sabbath. Now, for a Jew, keeping the Sabbath meant you couldn't do any kind of work. And for them, they felt, are you ready for this? This blows my mind, that healing someone was a work. Now, you and I are like, what? Jesus just simply speaking a word and somebody being healed, they viewed that as a work. And so therefore, when he did that, and he's done that before, they saw him as a lawbreaker. In their mind, he didn't fit with their way of doing things, with their traditions and their thinking. So therefore, he needed to be rejected, discredited. Now, let me just stop for a moment. I want you to understand something. You can't box God in. What do you mean? You and I need to understand that we don't determine what God does and doesn't do. He decides that. So there are things that he has decided that are recorded where? In his scripture, what he won't do. But that isn't your preference, right? It's not what you think a work is. Look, bottom line, healing someone doesn't seem to me to be a work, especially if he could speak the word and it happens, right? That's Jesus. That's God doing that, right? But in their mind, they had determined this is the way he's got to act. And if he doesn't act this way, I don't want to have anything to do with him. These are people who are rejecting him. Now, the question is, can we find ourselves in the same place? Can we find ourselves with the same kind of attitudes? With the same kind of whatever? And the problem is that if we do, we got to be careful, because ultimately it's to our own detriment. To our own detriment. So here's what I want you to notice. The next passage portion that we're going to look at is there's a test. Jesus is going to test them. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. Okay? 3 and 4. Here's what I want you to see. Here's what it says. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. All right, a couple things I want you to be aware. Number one, Jesus is aware of the need. He doesn't miss anything. That sometimes you and I need to understand that. What's happening in your life, you're wondering, does God know? He knows. He knows the need. And so there's a guy with a withered hand. Now, what does that mean, withered hand? Well, probably his hand was atrophied. Could have been possible number of things could have happened. He could have been born that way. We call that being born with a deformity. It could have been something that he developed later on, either through sickness or through an injury, and his hand atrophied, okay? And sometimes we see people like that. I remember years ago when we pastored in our first church, this has been a long time ago, when we went to Canada in 1995, we pastored at a church there for 4 years. There was a lovely couple there that Lori and I loved very dearly. Pearlie and Helen was her. Pearlie was the guy. And he was he was in his 80s, retired bulldoze driver. He helped build the Toronto airport, driving one of those huge, big bulldozers. And that's amazing in itself, right? Here's the other part that was amazing. When Pearlie was 18 years old, he got polio. Now, we don't talk about that anymore because we don't see people anymore. Now, you can remember when you were younger meeting people who had polio, right? Well, Pearlie had polio, and half of his body from his leg on up was atrophied. He got polio as a young man and atrophied half of his body. What an amazing guy. He would go on later and drive bulldozer. And he loved driving. So here's a guy, he's got a withered hand. We don't know what it is, but his hand is withered. Jesus sees the need. And he decides to test people. So here's what I want you to see. Jesus questions their misunderstanding of God's word. He says to them, okay, because these guys are just waiting for what, quote, to catch Jesus doing something wrong. Because they know that Jesus, seeing a guy with a need, what's Jesus going to do? Heal the guy, right? Now, stop for a moment. Think about that. That's the heart of God, right? He sees the need. What is the first thing they guess, even for people who are rejecting him, that God's going to do something. Jesus is going to do something, all right? So there he is. He says, okay, well, let me ask you guys a question. You've got it made up in your mind that this is wrong, so let me ask you. So look at what he says. It's pretty good, all right? Look at what he says there in verse 4, and he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? Wow, what a good question. So what really is lawful? Doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Okay, look at what it says. To save a life or kill? Now those are pretty obvious questions, right? You would think, because again, we're talking about the law. This is the law of God. That God would be okay with somebody doing what's right on the Sabbath, right? So he questions, and notice what it is, their misunderstanding of Scripture. Because here's the thing, with these guys, it wasn't the issue of the intent of the law. It became ritual to him. It was whether or not you kept it, not what your intent was. This is the problem. We get so focused on what we have to do that we miss the greater, bigger picture. And this is where these guys are at. And then what I want you to see then is there is no interest in considering another possibility. There's no interest that maybe God's got a different idea and that it's okay to heal a guy. When I read this passage, can I be honest with you? I see two things. Number one, I see callousness. There's a guy that's in their community. Do you understand? He's in their community. He has a messed up hand. Whether he was born with it or it happened because of an accident or a disease, he's got a messed up hand. Of course, that's going to affect that guy's life, right? Think about being one-handed. And all they can see is they don't see a guy who's been in their midst and there's no caring. There's callousness. They're not interested in him being healed. What are they interested in? Their definition of what right and wrong is. That's all they're interested in. What they consider to be right and what they consider to be wrong. And they can't even entertain the possibility that God might do something different. And can I tell you, he does oftentimes do something different than what we think is the way to do it. And this is what Jesus is pointing out here. And so they just decide, we're not answering him. Because what they have made up in their mind is, we're just looking for some reason, we just want to find fault, we just want to reject. We want to say no way to Jesus. So I find it interesting that Jesus reacts. Very often you'll see a reaction from Jesus, sometimes it's joy. In this instance, it's anger. It's interesting, the passage says that, anger and grief. Look at what it says, verse 5 and 6. Here's what it says. And he looked around at them with anger. So, by the way, if you don't think Jesus can get angry, he does. Okay? He looked around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out. And his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately and held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Now, by the way, the Herodians were a group of Jews who supported King Herod. So it's kind of their political affiliation, okay? So they were connecting with the Pharisees and trying to figure out how to get rid of Jesus. Now, here's two things I want you to see here. Jesus is angered and grieved by their hard hearts. So, everybody would agree with me. Does Jesus love everybody? Yeah, okay. All right, but just don't end there. He loves everybody. But I'm going to tell you something. People who just flat out reject him. People who are trying to find fault as a reason to not consider him. people who reject what he does or says or whatever, the fact of the matter is, he is angered and grieved at that. It makes him angry. Isn't that interesting? He's angered at people, especially these religious people, who have everything so outlined in their mind and determined. He's angered at how hard their heart is, that even God himself can't break through it. Isn't that interesting? We're not just talking about somebody being hard-hearted and maybe something might break. God is trying to break through to them, and they're that hard-hearted that they're rejecting him. He's angered by that. Do you understand? He's angered by people who reject him. Not just angered, though. He's grieved. It grieves his heart to hear it. So this week, for instance, for me, I was listening. I forget where I was. I was involved in a conversation with someone, and I was listening to, it was actually a news report I was listening to, and they were talking about something that's happening overseas and the terrible, oh, I know what it was. There are places in the world today where people go who can't have children, they go and they have a surrogate mother. You guys familiar with that? Somebody has a baby for you, okay? And so I'm listening to this story, and it happens to be that the place where this is happening is Ukraine. And so couples come from all over the world and go to the Ukraine, even though there's a war there, to pay to have a child. They'll provide the sperm and the egg, and then there's a mother to carry it. Well, then there was a story that came up. They're going to be changing the law in Ukraine to stop that. Why are they stopping that? Well, they gave an instance, and this caught my attention, of a little baby that was born with severe health issues and that would need continual care for the rest of its life. When the couple who had paid and provided everything biologically for this child to be born, when they found out that this was going on with the child, they never came to pick it up. And now this country that's in the midst of a war is trying to figure out how to care for a baby with all of these severe health issues. And as I was listening to that, there was a little bit of anger, okay? You would be angry if you heard that, right? But I also want to tell you, there was grief. I just grieved because the report was saying there are many more children like that. Now, that's you and I. We hear those kind of things and we're angered and we're grieved. Think about God. Who loves everyone, and here's a man who has a withered hand. And there are people who are so hard-hearted. They don't care about him. They just care about whether Jesus does it, are you ready for this, the right way. Meaning, he could do it the next day. Why does he have to do it today? And so he's angered and he's grieved by that. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Jesus does what is right no matter the reactions. This is where you got to say, way to go, Jesus. He knows these people are looking for him to do wrong. He gives them every opportunity to change their thinking. And what does he do? He heals the guy. He does what's right. That's our Jesus, isn't it? Interesting. Now you're saying, okay, George, what does this have to do with me? Well, it's interesting that the passage goes to an issue that we maybe need to think about with regards to ourselves. So let me ask you a question. Have you got God figured out? What? Have you got God figured out? Have you arrived at some point in your life where you think this is all that God can do and this is what he can't do, and you have him figured out? Have you gotten to that place? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you have, that is not a good place. Because you can't figure him out. And he does things not in accordance to your figuring. Because, by the way, you're not God. He is. And he doesn't bow to you and I. He does what he wants to do, according to his will and according to his word. And you and I coming to the place of thinking we know better. We figured it out. We've built our box, and our God is in that box. I'm going to tell you something. Our God is a box breaker. And he does things not in accordance to our traditions and our preferences. His concern is way beyond us. He does things beyond us. Now the question is, are you okay with that? God is not bound by our traditions. He does what he wants to do in order for it to happen. In order for it to happen. So this is what I want to ask you. Have you figured him out? Because that's not a good place to be. Where you should be is believing that he can do whatever he wants in accordance with who he is and what he said he would do in his what? Word. This is what I need you to see. Don't be like those who reject. Grasp the one who what? Does what he wants to do and heals. Okay? Let me pray for you. Lord, it's so easy for us to think we've got you figured out. But Lord, you do things in whatever way you choose that is consistent with who you are. It's our hard-heartedness, our predetermined thinking that grieves you. So help us. Lord, even help us to know how to pray for those around us who are trying to find fault with you. Open their eyes so that they might truly see Jesus. So I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the reality of who he is. And I thank you for your word. So we ask this now in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.